Gospel of Matthew this morning. We're going to take a hiatus from John for a week, or maybe 2 weeks. Stand, Matthew 27. We look forward to what God's going to do today. And also, we're considering today, next week, being Easter. And so we're also looking forward to that day. You know what's interesting about Easter is it's Resurrection Sunday. But here's what's interesting about it is every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. That's why we celebrate the Lord on Sunday, because it's the first day of the week. It's the day He rose from the dead. And so we celebrate resurrection today and each and every Sunday, but we set aside a special time of the year on the day of Easter, which is next Sunday. And so to prepare for that, we're going to be talking about Christ's suffering today. Christ's suffering. And we're in Matthew 27, and for some reason my Bible is open to 2 Samuel. So, probably should turn there where we are going to be. Verse 27 to verse 44, follow along as I read. The Bible says in verse 27, Matthew 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." And I'm ringing just a little bit, Brother Manny, if we could turn me down just a little bit, please. Let's see, where am I? Verse 28. "And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him." Now, when they bowed the knee, they weren't doing that to worship him. They were doing that to mock him. In fact, that's what it says. "And mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it, in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. You know, it's ironic, isn't it? That they're saying, prove that you're the Son of God by coming off the cross, when in fact he proved he is the Son of God by staying on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. That got me a little excited. Verse 41. "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." And so Jesus, in this passage, we see that he suffered. And he suffered for us. And we're going to talk about that. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for this great thought this morning, the encouragement of your word, for this great place and for this great assembly of encouraging folks who love you and want to serve you and want to know you and want to honor you. And those that are here perhaps as visitors in seeking you and needing direction in their life, I pray you'd give that to them. We all need direction. And for those that perhaps find themselves here this morning by way of invitation or maybe just knowing they need to be here, but are not really sure why they're here. And God, they need to know their need of salvation. And I pray that you'd bring conviction to their soul, that you would touch them, that they would see that they need, what they need is a relationship with you, and that you can establish that through because of what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. I pray your blessing on the message in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I read this about a teacher at Arizona State University. It was a biology teacher. And this teacher decided to mock Jesus in the class lecture. And his lecture was titled Evolution versus Creationism. Now, you would think that it would be a fair, demonstration between these two thoughts or ideas or ideologies or philosophies, if you want to put it that way. But he decided in his debate, in his lesson or lecture, to dismiss biblical creation as magic. He showed an image which featured two cartoons. On one of the cartoons showed Charles Darwin and apes evolving into a man. The caption of the graphic read these words, adaptation. It said genetics. It said natural selection. The other cartoon featured Jesus creating man. The caption with this graphic read these words, magic and zap. And so the lecture is actually for us today, and even in the class, becoming clear that there is, by the professor and the class, a kind of, those who would embrace this lecture, a rejection of Jesus Christ in the world. But that's a universal rejection, because that kind of rejection isn't just in the lectures of class, is it? There is a rejection of Jesus Christ in the world that we live in. And by the way, this is not an increasing phenomenon. It's not like, well, you know, the world is changing, although it is. And, you know, people are just getting more and more, sinful in their sinfulness, which I think we can make observation is true. But it's not an increasing phenomenon in the sense that Jesus was rejected, because when Jesus was on this earth, he was rejected. He was denied. And like the prophet Isaiah predicted, exactly with these words, more than 900, well, now I've said that with confidence, it might be 700. Either 700 or 900 years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah said this about Jesus. He is despised and rejected. Well, what does that mean? It means that Jesus would be despised. He would be rejected. And that's the nature of our story this morning. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And so that is what Isaiah the prophet predicted about Jesus. By the way, the culmination of Jesus' ministry, every moment that Jesus ministered, the miracles, every episode that went into leading up to the moment we find in our text, Jesus is rejected all the way and up to his death, which took him to the cross. Remember, Jesus had been betrayed. He had been taken captive. He had been illegally tried and convicted and condemned. And now he is on his way to the cross. It's kind of hard to process all of that if you really think about it. The Savior of mankind came because he loves us, and he's going to make a way for us to have relationship with the Father, and he's rejected. Amen. Our Savior is denied, despised, and rejected. Look at verse 28. It says, they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When it says they stripped him, they would have had a purpose in doing this. They were seeking to mock him. And in that process, seeking to mock him, they would have dressed him in garments. They would have started putting things on him that would represent a sort of fault or phony or faulty king. And so they put the robe on him and the crown, the thorny crown, which would have represented Caesar's crown. And they did this to ridicule him and to mock him. The purple robe would have represented royalty. They would have given him the reed, which would have represented the scepter. All the things that a king would have, that's what they gave him. And then it says they bowed before him as to mock him. It's amazing, because all the way up to the cross, there are people who are spitting on him. And we almost, I think, I think if we're thinking this story out, or maybe we're there's imagery that's created as we're sort of playing this episode through our minds, and I hope that you do that anytime you hear the Word of God, that you're giving attention. Amen. And God is giving you picture. He's giving you a visual in your heart so you can see a biblical text sort of unfold. Why? Because God works in our hearts through the Bible.
Amen.
And that's why we're here. We deliver the message and God speaks to us. And maybe as you're seeing this, you can see Jesus being mocked, and you can see him not just being beaten, but certainly being beaten and ridiculed and despised and even spit upon. And with all of that, you would put the people who are doing that in one category over here, and on the other side of the maybe pendulum or in a different category, we would put ourselves. Why would we do that? Well, because we don't see ourselves as ones who would do this to Jesus. We don't see ourselves as the ones who would mock him. It's shocking that they would do that. We know the story, and we've been touched by the Spirit. We've been convicted. And we've, for the most part, I would say in this place, we've given our hearts to him. And so, as the Bible says, when you're born again, this is of spirit, not of the flesh. The Spirit of God lives in you. Your body becomes the temple, and he lives in you, and he speaks to you. And so because you have that personal relationship with Jesus, with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, then hearing stories like this, or maybe recounting, because we know this story so well, and going through this episode and maybe creating the imagery of it, we wouldn't put ourselves in the category of those that ridiculed him and that beat him. However, we should. We should see ourselves as ones who rejected Christ. We should see ourselves as the ones that Jesus was being beaten by and was being spitten on by. Why? Because the same sinful people who did that is who we were before we got saved.
Amen.
He died for the very people who were crucifying him. And he loved them. He wasn't angry at them. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't aggravated or frustrated or in disbelief about what was happening to him. He didn't utter these words, "Do you not know who I am? And I can't believe you would do this. I'm dying for you." He never said that. Yet he loved them and he died for them. Amen. Just like he died for us. And by the way, it also it's interesting to me that there are people in this story who did actually get saved. There are people who mocked him and ridiculed him that we can see them either literally, it speaks of the thieves who spoke the same of him initially, ridiculing and rejecting him and spitting and mocking him, yet we know one of the thieves got saved.
Amen.
And so the very ones that Jesus was being beaten by and ridiculed by are the ones that he was crucified for. Look at verse 31. I didn't mean 31. We're going to jump down. My notes are wrong on this one. It's right. Verse 31. "And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him." And then look what it says in the last phrase. It says, "and led him away to crucify him." So they led him away and he would be crucified. Look at verse number 32. We're introduced to another man. "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name." So there's a man. His name is Simon. He's from Cyrene, which is a city in Africa. Listen to what it says in Luke 23 about the same man. Verse 26, it says this, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." So it speaks of this man of Cyrene, the Cyrenian man. Now, why is this reference here? You know, is it to unequivocally say that he carried Jesus' cross for a time? You know, and there's debate about that, whether Jesus carried his own cross the whole time or whether Simon carried his, like it seems to indicate here, for a time. But here's what we can see past that, and here's what we can clearly see. Jesus was suffering. he was bearing a heavy burden and load. He was in agony. He was being, in a way, there was a level of torture that would have been involved with all of this. And by the way, it was common for this to happen. We're going to talk more about that here in just a minute. I'll give a few details. Not too graphic, so don't get real nervous, but I'll mention a few details about crucifixion here in just a moment. Look at verse 34, because we're contributing to this idea of Jesus suffering. And by the way, all this passage is showing Jesus suffering, and he's suffering. Verse 34, it says, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. Why would they have done that? And Jesus rejected it, by the way, but why would they have done this? This would have been a kind of mixture that would have helped his body to deal with the pain. It's sort of like when we are going to exercise. How many of you exercise? Raise your hand. You like to go exercise. All right. I see those hands. You can put them down. Raise your hand if your body's getting old. Raise your hand. All right. Put your hand down. So whether you exercise, or your body's just getting old, okay? Maybe you exercise and your body's getting old, all right? So you fit into both categories. There's going to be times, especially if you do both, exercise and the other thing is true. So you don't even have to do anything, you know? Like, you're just going to pick something up. You're just walking, and you're like, oh, man, look at that piece of trash. And all you did was... And then when you got down there, you're like, I think I made a mistake. You know? You're like, where's the couch? And you're just going to go over to the couch. And you're just going to let it all kind of calm down. And then what are you going to look for? You might look for some of this vinegar mixed with gall. What does that mean? You're going to look for some ibuprofen. Something to help dull the pain a little bit, you know. Well, that's what this would have been. It would have been a common remedy or something to help dull the pain. Now, there's debate as to why this would have been offered, because there are some who believe that this was given to people so that they would suffer more. Well, why? Because it would have caused them to live longer, therefore suffer longer, you know. I don't know that we can see that. I see that Jesus rejected it. And so what is that, Jesus rejecting a narcotic like this that would have helped him or to dull the pain some, and he rejected it, what does that show us about what Jesus understands about this entire process? Is that he is suffering and he is meant to suffer. Now, we have to embrace this. We have to see this. That he is suffering and he is choosing to suffer. He is choosing to reject any kind of ibuprofen, as we would see it today, but any kind of narcotic that would help him to have the pain dulled, he's rejecting that. Why? Because he's choosing to suffer. He's doing that for us. He's suffering for us. Look at verse 35. It says, and they crucified him. You know, it seems like just with those words, it sums everything up with just that phrase, and they crucified him, but there's a lot there, isn't there? There's a lot of meaning there. They would have continued to mock him while they crucified him. They cast lots, and we see it in our passage. They were doing this, and it would have been a form of mocking him. They gave him the title, a messianic title. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Do you think they were honoring him, meaning to? It was an honor, but were they meaning to honor him with that title? It was a term of ridicule. Look at this, the king, he can't even save himself, which they verbalized later on when they ridiculed him for not being able to save himself. So all of that's right there in the passage. All the way to the thieves who died alongside him, ridiculing him and mocking him, everybody did this. Then it has another meaning when it says they crucified him. One writer described it like this. Again, don't get too nervous. I'm not going to be too graphic here. There are some who've been really graphic with this. The cross was unspeakable pain, as the author says. I mean, we could just stop right there, right? Unspeakable pain. What's that mean? It means you can't describe it. Like, I'll try to describe some of the torments, but the pain was unspeakable. So we can't truly understand. Not really. Yeah. And by the way, Jesus' pain would have not just been physical, but spiritual too. Right. We'll talk more about that tonight, because darkness came. I said we'll talk about it tonight. Now I'm getting excited about it. What does darkness represent that the Father turned His back? Why did the Father turn His back on His Son? Because Jesus bore in His own body our sins. And so it wasn't just a physical torment that Jesus experienced in His suffering. It was spiritual too. The author goes on and describes crucifixion. He says the subject would either be, this is the one crucified, would either be tied to a cross or nailed to a cross. And we know Jesus was nailed to the cross. The victim would then endure countless convulsions, as he describes it. He would have been required to pull himself up with his arms and push himself up with his legs, pressing and putting pressure on those wounds. Why? To open his chest cavity so that he might receive air for breathing. Amen. Then he would collapse in exhaustion, only being able to hold himself up for so long, and then, of course, experiencing the pain as well of the pressure, until the demand for oxygen forced him to push himself up again. The scourging which he experienced would have caused loss of blood, and the shock of the pain all would have produced a kind of agony that would go on for days. Finally, he would die of either suffocation, cardiac arrest, or blood loss. If there would have been a reason to hasten the death of those, then the execution squad would smash their legs. The death would follow quickly, either from the shock of the striking of the legs or from the collapse, which would cut off the breathing and they would suffocate. And so when it says that they crucified him, it means he suffered. He suffered. Why did he suffer? He suffered for us. Amen. He did this for us. In fact, it says in the scripture we pointed out, look at verse 42 again. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. They missaid it, didn't they? Those that are ridiculing and mocking Jesus, they missaid it. He saved others. That's true. Himself he cannot save. That's not true. But he chose to die that he might save us today. That through his death we might have hope. Hope of what? Hope of what we're going to talk about next Sunday. Hope of the resurrection, that because he died, we don't have to die. Because he lives, we can live. We can have hope of everlasting life because of what Jesus did in suffering for us. You say, well, why did he have to suffer? Why did he die in this way? He's paying the penalty of our sins. He's paying the penalty that we deserve to pay. Jesus was rejected in this world. He chose to go to the cross. He chose to suffer relentless ridicule and unspeakable pain. And he would not save himself so that he could make a way for you and I to be saved. Now, this is so important for us today. This message is what it's all about. You say, why do we have Western Hills Baptist Church? Anyway, this right here. You can't get any more specific about why we're here than what we're talking about this morning. There's a lot of principles. We talked about a tremendous principle in Sunday school. And that principle was this, for those of you who are wondering. God is always good. Amen. That was Sunday school. That's a principle. But you can't get any more foundational to why we are here than that Jesus died on the cross, which are right here on the wall behind us. He did that to pay for the sins that you and I deserve to have to pay for. He made a way so that we can be saved. Amen. He paid our penalty for us. You know, it's as you maybe have heard it this way. Somebody who gets a traffic ticket. Raise your hand if you got one of those recently. Yeah, okay. I said recently, some hands went down real fast, you know. So I think some of y'all weren't being honest right there. Anyway, we get a traffic ticket, and now we're at court, and we're standing before the judge, and the judge issues the verdict, guilty. And you're like, okay, I did it. True, I did it. I broke the law on this one. We won't go into the details, but I'm guilty. The judge says, okay, you owe $2,000. $2,000. And then he says this. Now, I'm not sure this would happen because of a traffic ticket, but you know, you never know. Then the judge says this. You either pay $2,000 or you're going to go to jail for 3 days. Well, I don't want to do that. But I don't have $2,000 either. So we're kind of in a bind here. We're in trouble, right? But then somebody comes in, a loved one perhaps. Maybe a father. As only a father may do, maybe. And he has something in his hand. It's an envelope. And on the inside of that envelope is approximately $2,000. And good old dad, he takes that envelope and puts it on the desk. And he paid your penalty for you. And so now you went free. You don't have to serve the penalty that you deserve to serve. And by the way, you didn't even have to pay for it because somebody else paid for it for you. That's what Jesus did. But on an infinitely different scale. He paid for your sins so that you don't have to pay for your sins. And if you have to pay for your sins, that means you're going to get locked up, but not for 3 days. You see? He paid for our sins. Now, why is this important? Because we're just like anybody else who ridiculed and mocked and who struck the hammer that, or rather, struck the hammer. With the hammer, struck the nails that secured Jesus' hands and feet to the cross. As involved as anybody would have been in this process, you and I fit into that same category. We are ones who reject Christ. And before salvation, we are those who are condemned. The reason Jesus went to the cross, we need to turn our heart to Him. We need to be saved. And we can't leave this place and think on the basis of our own merit, of our own goodness, that we're going to see God or we're going to be able to walk through the gates of heaven and be with God for all of eternity because of our inherent goodness. No, no, no. We're sinful and we're sinners and we need what Jesus did on the cross for us. I heard of a man, a pastor, who preached a funeral in Missouri, and there were some rough men in attendance. And the pastor said these words in the opening statements. He just was referencing and in smooth in conversation or rather in delivering the message. He spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately after hearing those words, one of those men stood up and heckled the pastor. And the man said, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't believe in hell. The pastor looked right at that man and then said these words. Someday you will. The pastor didn't know what happened to that man, but if he doesn't turn his heart to Christ, he knows what will happen to him. Amen. The same preacher was holding a revival, and there were two boys on a motorcycle out in front of the church, and they were heckling the pastor. And they took off on the motorcycle within a few minutes, actually. Just seconds later, was in a head-on collision. After heckling the pastor, after heckling against the Scriptures and against the work of God, now they're spending eternity separated from Him. Same pastor in a tent revival. 14-year-old girl. Knew she needed to be saved. Had been accepted into a sorority and didn't want to get saved until after she'd lived her life some. The same night, after her father filling the vehicle with fuel, pulled out of the driveway of the gas station, was hit by drunk drivers, flipped the car upside down, and she was killed same night. You know what's interesting is I was 13 years old. I was a thief. I was lost. I was in sin. I was hanging around with the wrong crowd. And before we get saved, that's where we all are. Amen. Just like anyone that I just referenced, or myself, a rejecter of Christ. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've been a rejecter of Christ. Maybe you're like one of those where there's heckling, or maybe you've not heard much about it, but you're saying something like this: I want to live my life a little, and I want to do my own thing for a little time, and then I'll come to Christ. But we don't have the promise of tomorrow. One of these days will be your last chance, and it might be today. He suffered for us. Jesus is the King. He stretched out His arms for you. He died to save you. Somebody knocked on my door. A lady named Donna Kosher, still my friend today. She said, hi, said her name to my stepmom, actually, who answered the door. And I'm sort of in the background. I'm in third grade at that time. And she said, hi, we're from Southwest Baptist Church, Oklahoma City. We drive a bus. Big white bus that honks starting at the beginning of the, what's that called when you live on it? Your block, yes. Happens sometimes, right? Starts on the block, starts honking the horn. I wondered, why do you do that? Everybody needs to be in church. Amen? Honk, we're going to wake everybody up. Honking. I'm like, here the bus comes. And we're sitting there, we got our church clothes on, and the bus would stop in front of our house and lay on the horn. The door would fly open, and then there we would go, run out to the bus, get on the bus, and that big bus number one, that was our number one. I didn't remember that because we would shout on the highway, we're number one. Anyway, so on the highway, on the way to church, did that for a few years. Then God spoke to my heart in a preaching. Youth pastor was preaching. All I remember, he was preaching about hell. He was preaching about sin. And believe me, at that moment I knew I'm a sinner and I'm going to be separated from God. I'm going to go to hell. I knew it. And God spoke to my heart. I knew I needed to be saved. And so I raised my hand. You know how they do, like the pastor. I'll do it here in a minute. Everybody head bowed. Everybody close your eyes, right? Well, most of us close our eyes. Some of you are like, I should say something to you anyway. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Raise your hand if you don't know if you're saved. I raised my hand. He worked in my heart. I also didn't know that somebody was going to come up and put their hand on my shoulder. Scared me. Went into another room, told me about the gospel. I didn't ask the Lord to save me in that moment. And I went home, and I couldn't sleep for a few nights. And laying on my bed, I remember looking at the ceiling and wondering about all of this, and He was still working in my heart. And I asked Him to save me. Amen. And it all really came true in that moment for me. And maybe I didn't understand all of the aspects. And maybe you don't understand all the aspects of this. But here's what God does. He speaks to you and He says, listen, this is you. You are a sinner. You are separated from me. And you needed me to go to the cross to suffer for you so that through His death, burial, and resurrection, we might have a way of having everlasting life. Amen. He speaks to you. He speaks to us. And when He does that, He gives us a chance. So that today might be the day of salvation for somebody here. It's like, who might that be? Who might that be? If we could point them out, then, we would have some kind of a spiritual ability, wouldn't we? If I could point out in here who needs to be saved. But I can't do that. But I don't need to. God speaks to you. And maybe that's you this morning. You're like, He suffered and He died on the cross. I wondered why He did that. Yeah, He did it so that you wouldn't have to suffer. He died for you. He died to pay your penalty of your sins. By the way, you needed Him to do that. But He also gives us a choice, doesn't He? He doesn't make you get saved. He's not going to make you come to the altar. If you need to be saved and you know you need to be saved and you want to be saved, that might all be true. You still have to choose to come. You still have to swallow your pride. You still have to make a decision. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care who thinks I already am saved. I know I'm not because He's speaking to me. And push all of that aside and you say, I'm going to come down here and I want to get it settled wherever. Amen. Come to the altar, and then I'll encourage you to do this, because several folks come to the altar. You could come to the altar just to thank God for His goodness. Amen. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I remember the day I got saved. And we all should do that. And there are those that come to the altar. I don't know who needs to be saved, so I'll ask you to do this when you get to the altar. When you get here, then I'll say this. If you'll just lift your hand while you're here, then I'll know that you want to talk more about this. And I'll meet you. I'll grab my Bible. I'll meet you right here. And there isn't anybody in here who's so ready to get out of here that we can't take another couple of extra minutes to show somebody right from the Bible how they can get it settled. And we'll just do it right here. You just acknowledge that. Or maybe you want to talk later about it. You can do the same thing. You know, I believe I need to be saved. Or if you might say it this way. Pastor, I know I need to be saved. Can we talk more about this? I think, absolutely. How about Tuesday at 2 o'clock? And we'll do it. Now, not everybody show up Tuesday at 2 o'clock. I'm just saying. We'll figure out a time. And we'll talk. We got to get this settled. There is nothing that's more important than you knowing that when you die, whenever that is, if it were today, that you're going to be in heaven with God. That's why He suffered. He suffered for us. We're going to talk more about this tonight. We're going to talk about the darkness. I sort of touched on it a little bit this morning. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And then we're going to observe the Lord's table. And we're going to do all of this to remember what He did for us and why He did it. So that we might look forward to next Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Every head bowed. Nobody's looking around. Anybody can come to the altar. You can just rejoice. You can, God spoke to your heart. You can pray. You can seek Him. You can just do. It's between you and God. The altar's open for you. But as every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I don't see anybody looking around, so I think we're okay. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. God's speaking to my heart. I won't embarrass you. And by the way, I won't come back there and I won't talk to you. I won't pressure you. I'll pray for you. And I promise you about that. If you'll lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Just lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? Just lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Just lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Anybody? I'm not sure I'm saved. Say, Pastor, I do believe that I have salvation and God's working in my heart about serving and living for Him. And maybe that's you. Let me encourage you to seek Him this morning. If you do need to be saved and you didn't lift your hand because you're a little nervous about that, you can still come. Lift your hand when you get to the altar. I'll pray with you. Maybe you want to talk sometime this week. You let me know. We'll do it. Just don't leave here without saying something, please. Father, I pray for these that are here this morning, perhaps those that are saved, who just love You and want to serve You and want to rejoice about Your sacrifice, dying and suffering for our sins, for us. And then, Lord, for those that maybe this morning need to be saved, would You give them courage, please? Clear conviction from Your Spirit, work in their hearts. And we'll give You glory how You do a work in all of us in that way. Thank You for Jesus. It's in Your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.